Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Celebrating 6 years is radio's small business superhero. He's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of two books, and all-around nice guy.
He's everywhere! He's everywhere!
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 After. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. Thanks for joining me if you just tuned in. I'm excited about Don Lambro being back on the show, ladies and gentlemen. Don's an old friend and a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's a nationally syndicated columnist. Many of you see his byline in your papers around the country. He's also chief political reporter for the Washington Times in our nation's capital, beautiful downtown Washington, D.C. And as I said, he's our good friend. Don, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim.
It's good to have you back. Don, this is a pretty interesting week we've got going here with the primary in New Hampshire, followed right on the heels of the caucuses in Iowa, and you've been covering that. You actually had a pretty significant part of the Washington Times Sunday paper this week, didn't you, with your coverage of candidate Dean?
Well, we did a piece on after Iowa, the rise and fall of Howard Dean, what happened to him, and someone who was poised to win Iowa and New Hampshire, and in a short space of time, he collapsed. And so that piece kind of looked at that, and a litany of gaffes and misstatements and corrections and having to scramble to correct himself. So, of course, the question really comes up after New Hampshire this morning. Did Kerry really beat Dean, or did Dean beat himself?
Yeah.
It was Dean's to win and Dean's to lose. He was, 40 points in New Hampshire. He was so far ahead, he couldn't see Kerry behind him. And all that changed, of course, in New Hampshire. And so that piece looked at that.
Well, let's talk about Iowa, because Iowa is what happened in New Hampshire, I think. Iowa influenced New Hampshire significantly. What influenced Iowa?
Well, I think it was a cumulative thing about Dean constantly making gaffes throughout his comments about Iraq, again, appealing to the anti-war base that was really the warp and woof of his entire campaign.
Right.
That we're no better off with Saddam Hussein gone, that the Iraqi people are no better off, that we are no longer not any safer with Saddam Hussein captured, and on it went. And I think that had a lot of effect. In the final week or two, there were some little things that may have played a large role than anyone realized. A voter in Iowa standing up, a Republican voter, asking why he was attacking Bush on this and that, on the war, on Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
And
he didn't handle that well.
Very angry, very red-faced, and essentially told him, in so many words, sit down and shut up. I mean, and and that got played a lot
it
in
did.
Iowa. Iowans, they like a good political brawl, but they like you to be polite and nice, and they don't like their candidates to be arrogant.
Iowans are nothing if not civilized.
They are very civilized, and polite to a fault.
Yeah.
And so Dean came off as arrogant, and I think that whole thing just spilled over into New Hampshire. You're right. So,
well, another thing that happened,
himself in the foot.
Well, he did, and another thing that happened, Don, is that there was another Republican individual that I think had more to do with the turn of this election, because it happened kind of simultaneous with the event that you just mentioned with Dean, and that was the Republican individual from Iowa who stood up and said that he's the guy that John Kerry saved in Vietnam. Remember that?
Okay. Is this the gentleman that Dean put down?
I don't think so. No, this was a separate thing. That this was a guy that literally the soldier that Dean won one of his awards, one of his service awards.
Yes.
And he stood up and said, "I'm a Republican, but this man saved my life in Vietnam." Well, I think, and those two things happened very close together. And I believe that turned those two things. They haven't gotten as much play as I think they should have. I mean, they got play in the at the time, but I don't think they've been recognized as much. I think those two things did as much to turn things around, because we, on the one hand, we got Dean acting badly. On the other hand, we got somebody talking about how and when Kerry was a hero. And even though that was staged a little bit, I do believe that those two things came together and to create this perfect storm for Mr. Dean.
Well, you may be right. Of course, these primary elections and contests are very much a whole fabric, and there's many things that contributed to it. Certainly, you can't
Don,
take
Don,
away.
Hold, I'm sorry, hold on to that thought. When we come back, folks, I'm going to get Don to finish his thought, and then I'm going to ask him, why do these caucuses and these weird caucuses in Iowa, why do they really matter? Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter, which comes every Sunday. And I encourage you to sign up for that. And all we need is your email address. We appreciate that. That's the minimum. You can give us the other information if you like, which is just your name and where you live. If you want to tell us that, that's great. And so check that out when you get a chance. And don't forget all the other things you can do. If you're a small business owner, work for a small business, or if you want to be a small business owner, I think our site is as good as it gets when it comes to providing you with content and resources that will help you. Don Lambro is our guest and our good friend. He's chief political reporter with the Washington Times. Don, I had to cut you off as we were going to the break, and you were finishing a thought.
Well, we were talking about what are the other factors that led to Kerry's comeback. And besides Howard Dean shooting himself in the foot and beating himself, and that, I think, is the question of electability. In the end, that was always the doubts that haunted the Democratic Party about Dean, that someone from a tiny state, little known, with questions about his arrogance and his temperament. And here is Kerry, who looks presidential,
right,
and was pounding away on electability, electability, electability. And I think that was, in the end, a big factor for a lot of Democratic voters who have been confused from the start. One of the underplayed stories is that Democrats, between one-third and one-half of them at any point in the past year, have said they did not know who they wanted to vote for, could not name one of the Democratic presidential candidates, and said if they may even change their mind at the last minute. This is not a party that is very confident about its choice.
Well, did you hear any of these candidates talking about what they were going to do for small businesses while they were running out in Iowa or in New Hampshire?
I have not. Joe Lieberman talks about it, but he is the most conservative member in the pack and is way down on the polling list.
Well, he's
but no,
basically,
they don't talk about that. And of course, as you know and have said many, many times, they're the people who drive America's businesses. They produce most of the jobs.
Over half of our gross domestic product. Over half of the $10 trillion domestic production.
That's right.
Haven't heard it.
And a huge weakness in the Democratic ideology. Not talking about business. And you don't hear them use the words economic growth.
They won't talk about jobs. But you know, I keep, whenever they talk
only
about
theoretically,
whenever anybody talks about jobs, you're right. I keep thinking, especially the Democrats should be listening to a great Democratic leader of the last century, Paul Tsongas, whom I think you mentioned a minute ago, Don. He told the Democrats, he said, guys, we can't love jobs and hate the job providers.
That's right.
We can't love employees and hate employers.
Right. And to have a job, you have to be in business. You have to have a profit. You never hear the Democrats talking about the word profit. It's a dirty word to them.
It's almost like it's a dirty word, isn't it?
Yeah. You have to have earnings. And they don't talk about any of these things. You're right. They talk about jobs only in a theoretical sense, and certainly
folks,
don't.
I asked Don that question. I wanted to know You know, if he'd heard that, those are the things I listen for.
Yes.
When I listen to a president give a State of the Union speech, because of the way I'm bent, Don, and the folks I work for, I'm looking for the words enterprise. I'm looking for the words entrepreneur. I'm looking for the words small business. I'm looking for I'm looking for free trade. I'm looking for those kinds of words, those kinds of philosophies, because that's what's going to help small business owners in the future.
Absolutely. And, of course, all of the Democratic candidates, John Kerry, Howard Dean, Wesley Clark, John Edwards, all of them, Dennis Kucinich, they want to repeal all of the Bush tax cuts.
Some of them are saying part of them.
Some of them, that's right. But they certainly, the Kerry and Clark, Edwards, they want to keep the middle-class tax cuts. But they do all want to repeal those on the top rates. And as you know, it's the small business owners are taxed at those top rates.
Well,
wealthy to me, but for some people, that they say these are the rich. But these are really people who may employ three or four or a dozen people, and they aren't incorporated, as you know, and they pay through normal federal income tax system, and that's who they would be heaping higher taxes on. And these people employ America.
Well, here's the other thing. There's one more element to that, Don, and that is that even the small business owners who are not at the top bracket aspire to be.
That's
they
right.
want to be. They don't think it's a bad thing that they could be. And so that's where I think that the argument for raising taxes on people is going to fall short.
And whenever you hear someone say, well, we should raise taxes on the rich, which repeal would essentially do, of course,
right.
would do, they would be penalizing millions of small businesses and those who aspire to be successful small businesses. So that starts at the very base. That's the very basis of jobs that they're talking about. But they haven't a clue how those jobs are created.
Well, some of them don't, and they're going to have to, in my opinion, if their message is going to resonate in the 21st century, and certainly in 2004. They're going to have to get right with small business. They're going to have to get right with any candidate who's going to be electable is going to have to be able to talk to people who create over half the production in America, because we are up on the radar screen now, folks. We're not backwater mom and pops anymore. We're on the radar screen, and we know who we are. We know how big we are. And so think about that. We're going to take a quick break. It's 10 till. We'll be right back with our good friend, Don Labro.
Come down. Your throne and leave your body alone. Somebody.
When you wake up in the morning and the light is
we're back at 7 till.
The first thing you do.
I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Don Labro. Don, if somebody wanted to find your byline online, where would they go for that?
They go to thewashingtontimes.com on the Internet and see my column there on Mondays and Thursdays, and you can read my stories in the Washington Times.
Right. And, of course, you're in about 40 papers around the country?
That's right.
Don, let's talk about what's next for the Democrats. And the next one is South Carolina.
South Carolina, right? There's seven of them that are coming up on February 3rd. Arizona, South Carolina, Missouri. That's the big one with
right.
74 delegates. It hasn't gotten much attention until now, but that's where Kerry's going to focus.
And I know that
New Mexico, Oklahoma, Delaware, and North Dakota.
Mr. Gephardt was sure hoping he could hang on to get to Missouri, wasn't he?
He was the favorite son in Missouri, and of course now he's out of it. So Kerry is already on the air in Missouri with TV ads, and that is the richest prize as far as delegates. Although the media has been focusing on South Carolina,
why?
Missouri really is the big prize.
Why have they been focusing on Carolina? Because of Edwards?
I think because of Edwards, because it's a state where you have a large minority population. It's not clear why they did, because is there a more Republican state in the country than South Carolina? I don't think so.
Probably not.
So what the Democrats think there is sort of, in some sense, irrelevant. But nevertheless, that's what the media has focused on, while, of course, people down on the bottom of the totem pole, like Lieberman, are focusing on Arizona, New Mexico, Oklahoma, Delaware, where he thinks he might be able to win some. But I think this is going to give Kerry the momentum he needs in those states. I think he'll win in Missouri. I think Dean is finished. And on February 3rd, Kerry should do pretty well in those
states.
So you think
Dean is history, huh?
I do.
Now, were you saying that 3 weeks ago?
No, 3 weeks ago I was saying that he had 40% in New Hampshire, and he was edging out Gephardt in his own state in Iowa, and he was the odds-on choice to win those two contests and go on and win it.
Well, I have to say, I have to admit
it was a fantastic turnaround.
I have to admit that I was there with you. I mean, I predicted a month ago that he was going to be the nominee, and I look back at my prediction, and now I wish I'd been a little more thoughtful about it.
But, you know, some big people have lost. Ed Muskie was flying high as the odds-on choice to be the nominee.
Right.
And he cried in the snow in New Hampshire, and he was history. Everyone thought George Romney was going to be the Republican nominee.
Right.
And he said he was brainwashed in Vietnam, and he was gone the next day.
Huh.
So these can really, really turn around. And George Bush looked like he may have been knocked off the pedestal when he lost New Hampshire to Senator McCain. But
right.
He came back. So these are two dangerous contests, and they've knocked off a lot of people at the top of the totem pole.
Are you ready to predict who's going to be the nominee for the Democrats?
Yeah, right now, I would say right now the odds-on choice would be that Kerry would be, because his opponents are so far down. It's not as if they're running even in the national polls or even in some of these other races, although Clark is up there in South Carolina, but that's his next door. He's a next-door neighbor,
right,
and he was born in South Carolina, so he might make a little bit of a blip there.
Edwards.
But no, I don't see him. I don't see Edwards really going anywhere, and Clark has made so many contradictory statements about his position on Vietnam and which party he belongs to that he is not going to anywhere get close to the nomination.
Don't you think Edwards
Kerry's going to be it?
I think you're right about Kerry, but don't you think Edwards is going to be the vice president candidate, even though he says he's not interested in the job?
I wouldn't be willing to say that. They want to exude, to go up against an incumbent, you want to have someone on the ticket with you who exudes strength, someone that people can accept as president. Yeah, and he is a freshman senator. He's been elected only once.
But Kerry's going to need a southerner. He's going to have a southerner.
He's going to have a southerner, perhaps, yeah.
And that's not going to be Clark.
Well, I wouldn't rule Clark out.
Kerry and Clark, huh?
It's going to be a tough one. He's got other choices he can make.
Can Kerry beat Bush in November?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Don,
I think this economy is rolling.
Yeah. Don, thank you for being here. Good job today, as always.
Thank you, Jim.
We're glad to have you here. Don
Labro,
ladies and gentlemen, chief political reporter for the Washington Times. Don't forget WashingtonTimes.com if you want to go see what some of the things Don has to say. He writes at least two columns a week. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. This program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.